We are still in chapter 6, Mishnah number 6 of Pirkei Avos of Ethics of the Fathers, and we are up to way number 33, Ohev es ha-meisharim, someone who loves righteousness. Our sages, they collected and organized and codified for us the 48 ways to achieve wisdom. If we want wisdom, if we want divine wisdom, if we want to tap in and align our minds with the mind of Hashem, so to speak, if we want to upgrade our intellect, if we want to become a worthy receptacle of Torah, we must acquire Torah. And our sages delineated for us the 48 different pathways to this divine wisdom. And way number 33 is Ohev es ha-meisharim. So we had recently to love charity and to love humanity and to love God. And now we have this idea to love righteousness. And to love straightness. Meshar means to be straight. If someone loves to be straight and to be righteous, that is a portal to wisdom. Now, what does this mean exactly? What does it mean to be straight and to be proper? And why would that contribute towards the acquisition of Torah? So the truth is, there is a verse in the Torah. There is a mitzvah in the Torah. Va'asisa hayashar. V'hatov, you should be yashar, which means you should be straight. Now, what does that mean? You know, the Torah gives us many instructions. What we're supposed to do. And we're given measurements. And we're given precise details. And we're given not just ideas, not just nebulous, amorphous ideas, but we're told how to implement them. And we should shake the lulav. What's a lulav? What are the four species? How tall must it be? And what are the parameters of it? And we're given this very unspecified verse, Vasisa Hayashar. You should do what's proper, what's straight, Vahatov, and what's good. And the commentaries explain to us is that the Torah has a lot of mitzvos, all sorts of laws. And the laws are supposed to govern what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to interface with our fellow man. And we're given many, many, many details. And then we're told, Va'asisa hayashar v'atov. You should do what's right. You should be a good person. You should be a mensch. You should do what's straight. And the Ramban tells us, the Torah understands that it's not going to delineate every single conceivable human circumstance and situation. It's not possible to address every potential human situation. When you're interacting with your neighbors and your friends and your business dealings and the laws of the land, there are so many, there are effectively an infinite amount of permutations for human interactions. And the Torah does address many circumstances and situations. It tells us, you know, to not be a gossip monger, and to not take revenge, and to not bear a grudge, and to not stand idly while your brother's blood is being spilled, and not to curse a blind one, and to get up before the sage, and to not place a stumbling block in front of the blind. It does list a lot of different circumstances and situations and tells how we're supposed to behave. And then it has a general mitzvah and says, be a good person. Do what's right. Do what's proper. And that's to address the totality. It's not just to follow the details, but in general, be a good person, do what's right. And the Ramban, very famously, he says this idea in two places. We're going to have later on in the book of Leviticus, Parshas Kedoshim. And it starts off, Kedoshim to you. You should be holy. Now, what does that mean? Again, it's an amorphous, nebulous type of verse. What does it mean? How do I be holy? And the Ramban there explains as well. The Torah gives us many, many, many mitzvos. What we can eat, what we cannot eat, and all the details. And someone may say, well, I'm just going to eat what's kosher. And I'm going to have a 5-course breakfast. And an 8-course lunch, and I'm going to binge on snacks in between, and then a marathon dinner. And all that being 100% kosher food. And I'm perfectly in line with the laws of the Torah. Because after all, it's all kosher. The Ramban calls that is someone who is a novel b'shus Torah. A corrupt person, and it's all done with the stamp of approval of the Torah. And in order to prevent that, the Torah tells us, kedoshim, to be holy. Even the things that are not explicit in the Torah, you should strive for elevation and holiness. So we have the details, and then we have the general law. And that's both in mitzvos that relate to man and God, and mitzvos that relate to man and man's fellow. V'asisa hayashav tov. After we're told many, many, many details, we're told in general, be good, be proper, be upstanding. And Talmud gives some examples of this. What's an example of being upstanding? Suppose you're trying to sell a parcel of land. And the neighbor wants to buy it. And of course, the neighbor has a greater incentive to buy it because that will make, you know, one larger tract of land. You are required, the Talmud tells us, to give the right of first refusal to buy your property to one of the neighbors. They have first dibs. And if you sell to someone else, and the neighbor would have wanted to buy it, Talmud tells us, the neighbor can invalidate the sale because you first have to go to the neighbors. Why? Because that's proper. Before you sell to people that live far away, maybe one of the neighbors wants to buy it. And again, assuming it's the same price, obviously. Why? It's proper. It's the proper thing where you could help someone who has an adjacent property. It's the proper thing. It's the upstanding thing. To do what's upstanding. Vasisa hayashar tov. Do what's good, what's proper, what's straight. And again, it's an unwritten law, the Talmud tells us. There's no mitzvah in the Torah that says you must sell to the neighbor. It's not explicit. But if this is good, this is proper, this is righteous, this is upstanding, and that's why you should do it. Talmud also tells us that this is applied to the courts as well. Part of Vasisa Yashvar Tov, you should do what's right and what's justice and what's upstanding. Part of that is to seek compromise. If you're a court of law and you have litigants and you have people that are contesting a given matter, of course, you know, you're a court of law and you're supposed to find out what happened and seek out justice. And find out who's right and who's wrong. But before you offer that, you should try to find a way to seek a compromise. Is there any way that there's some legitimacy to their claim and some legitimacy to their claim, and we can find a way to make everyone happy? And that's not justice, but it is upstanding. Justice would be to just approach the issue with cold, calculating logic. But to do what's proper, to do what's just, what's upstanding, is to find a way to create some sort of compromise so everyone could be happy, everyone could feel like they were heard, everyone could feel like their claims were granted legitimacy, and everyone could come away from this experience to be a little bit satisfied. Everyone gives in a little bit, and everyone gets something, and everyone's happy. That's what's proper, what's upstanding, the Talmud tells us. And here we have a Mishnah that tells us if someone loves the Meisharim to be upstanding, way 33, our sages tell us, this is a way to acquire Torah. Now, what does this have to do with the acquisition of Torah? Now, Torah is an intellectual pursuit, maybe a spiritual pursuit. If someone is just and upstanding and righteous and proper and straight, why would that qualify them to be a recipient of Torah? So the commentaries tell us that when the verse says to be righteous and upstanding, it refers to being a good person and to having good character and to be someone who other people admire. And in fact, a Torah sage the Talmud tells us, they must always be upstanding in every one of their interactions. They have to be a model citizen and an exemplar for other people to look up to. It cannot be that someone behaves in a way that causes others to say, hey, wait a minute, they're studying the Almighty's Torah, but they're behaving in such a corrupt manner. They're petty. They're quick to anger. They drive with road rage. They exploit the system. They come back to Costco, 5 years later with the returns, because it technically says that you can return it forever. It's not congruent. You cannot have someone who's studying the Almighty's Torah and fancies themselves as an exemplar of the Almighty's Torah and they behave in a way that's not upstanding. The way it ought to be is that someone who studies Torah should live by a higher standard. And everyone should say, look at this person. They study Torah and look how praiseworthy they are. Look how righteous and noble their behavior is. To be a bearer of Torah, it means to represent God. And what makes a person meritorious and deserving of that? You want a larger share of the Almighty's Torah? You have to be upstanding and righteous and just and proper in all your ways. The vessel in the tabernacle that most embodies Torah is, of course, the Ark. In the Ark, you have the tablets, both sets of tablets, the Torah scroll that Moshe wrote. And it was made out of wood, the Torah tells us. Chapter 25 of Exodus, the Ark is made out of wood, but it is plated inside and outside with gold. And the Talmud tells us that this is illustrative of what the proper vessel for Torah should look like. It should be gold inside and gold outside. If you want to make yourself into a receptacle of Torah, you must model yourself after the Ark. And the Ark was golden, not just how it portrayed itself externally, but also internally, in the parts that no one could see. The gold was everywhere, the righteousness, the upstanding nature of the person inside and out is 100% admirable. The more a person makes themselves similar to the Ark, the more they become a worthy receptacle of Torah. If their character is upstanding, if they're righteous and just and admirable in every way, they are more like the Ark and become a better receptacle of Torah. And that's perhaps what our sages are teaching us. If you love righteousness, you're not just tolerating righteousness. Let me look for every little loophole and every little technical way that I can gain some sort of advantage over my fellow man. You're not desirous of that. You want to be good and you're willing to make compromises to do that. You love righteousness. You love being upstanding. Someone like that renders themselves into being a worthy home, a worthy domicile for the Almighty's Torah. There's another idea that the commentaries here tell us. The Mishnah says, someone who loves Meisharim, from the word Yashar, to be straight. Mesilas Yasharim, the path of the straight path. There's a straight path and there's a crooked path. When it comes to studying Torah, there is the possibility of being very corrupt in our thinking, to not be straight, to not be just, to think in a contorted way. And the commentaries tell us this is perhaps a second idea in this Mishnah, that we're told when we're approaching the Torah, we have a dilemma, we have a problem, we have a difficult subject to unpack. We have to try to study it with a clear mind, with a straight mind, and to avoid a convoluted approach to try to understand the Torah. to avoid the unnecessarily complex, to try to find the interpretations that are straight, that are sensible, that are logical. And this is a bit of a challenge, because we all want to have novelty, and we all want to have contributions towards Torah, and we want to have an insight that's just a revolutionary idea. And if you think straight and you interpret the Torah in a manner that is just sensible and logical, you're not going to have as much novelty. There's a great piece from the great Rabbi Yerucham. He's talking about the gifts of the princes. So the beginning of the book of Numbers, it tells that during the inauguration of the tabernacle for 12 consecutive days, the heads of the 12 tribes each brought an offering. It's a very elaborate offering, all sorts of vessels and all sorts of sacrifices. But what's unique about it is that for 12 days, the 12 heads of the tribes, the princes of the tribes, brought the identical offering every single day. The tribe of Judah brought day one and so on. And then day two, tribe of Issachar brought the exact same offering. And the Torah repeats it again and again and again for each one of these 12 tribes, respectively. And the commentaries explain that each one of these princes, on their own, intuited what's the right contribution to bring for this occasion. And they each arrived at the exact same conclusion on their own. Because if you think clearly and you think straight, you'll end up thinking like other people do. And Rabbi Yerucham says, is like, if you're on the straight path, you know, you're on the interstate, you will meet other drivers. You know, we spoke about Google Maps, right? Or Waze. You take the Waze and it always finds this convoluted path and you end up driving. You know, we drive to Canada every summer. So sometimes they take you on these very creative routes and it saves you 5 minutes, but you're going on these abandoned, you know, side roads. And you don't see cars for dozens of miles. And then you see a whole line of cars because one guy's going really slowly. You go on the interstate, it's just full of cars. When you think, you can think straight. And you think straight, you're going to be with a lot of other cars, a lot of other people. If you think crooked, you may be on your own. And you feel great, well, I'm a maverick. But that may be a sign of non-straight thinking, of corrupt, crooked thinking. And you're like, well, I'm the only person in history that's ever said this. Well, that should be a red flag, perhaps. Because if you're thinking properly, you'll have 12 people who all think properly and all arrive at the same conclusion. So if you're studying citation in the Talmud, you're thinking about it, and you offer an approach to understand it. And that sounds logical and it feels great. Wow, what an interesting way to frame it. And you start perusing in the classic medieval literature, and you're like, wait a minute, the Ramban says what I said. The Ramban 1,000 years ago, he already arrived at the conclusion that I arrived. So suddenly I may feel deflated, right? I thought I was this brilliant genius that finally solved the dilemma. I deciphered the Talmud. Well, the Ramban preceded me by almost 1,000 years. And that may be a bit disheartening, but it shouldn't be. Because it just is a testament to the fact that you are thinking correctly. Because if your mind arrived at some sort of conclusion that the Ramban arrived at, that's a sign that you're thinking straight. And you're not thinking in a convoluted way. The verse tells us in chapter 19 of Psalms, Pekud Hashem Yesharim, the instructions of God are straight. Mesamchei lev, they bring joy to the heart. If someone thinks clearly and straight and logically, their study of Torah will be joyous. Because there's a certain synergy that they're having with the will of the Almighty as expressed through his Torah. If someone finds that the Torah study is not promoting joy, it may be that this is the area that they need to improve in. They're thinking, it's too complex maybe. It's too convoluted. It's not straight. Because the instructions of God are straight and they bring joy. So this is perhaps another idea in this way number 33, to love the upright, to love straight thinking. If you think straight, well, then you're going to be able to be a better student of Torah because you're actually more aligned with the Torah. And again, we have this tendency to want to be a maverick and to want to be independent and to want to create novelty. And that's great. But if it's not straight, you may be off the beaten path. And that's not a good thing. And this is actually a virtuous cycle. Because when someone studies Torah, what they're doing is they're aligning their mind with the mind of God. So the study of Torah actually makes their thinking more straight. And when your thinking is more straight, and you love that, well, that's a way to acquire Torah. So this is a self-reinforcing cycle where the more you try to make your thinking straight and less convoluted, the more you're able to study Torah, and that actually straightens your mind. And so on. And you're able to upgrade your thinking every time you study. And thus, thinking clearly both causes you to have more Torah, and it's also the result of you studying more Torah. And by the way, this is why, if you have a great Torah scholar, it's an incredible asset, not just for Torah matters, but for all matters. You want advice on whatever it is, you have people whose minds are upgraded. They're operating on a higher level. And they can be a tremendous source of counsel in all matters because the study of Torah has upgraded their intellect. And their minds are sharp and their minds are logical and they're incisive and their thinking is not corrupted. I saw a great framing in one of the commentaries that encapsulates this idea. If you have a sword that's crooked, it's not going to go into a sheath that's straight. Similarly, a sword that is straight will not enter a sheath that is crooked. The Torah, it's straight. The instructions of God are straight. If your brain is corrupt, your brain is crooked, well, it's not going to be a good match. And that's way number 33, to love righteousness, to love the straightness, meisharim, to straight and clear thinking. That is a way to make yourself more compatible with Torah. Now, part of this is to try to seek truth. What happens if you have a clever idea and your study partner, your chavrusa, has an idea that's not quite as clever, but it's more correct? So you kind of have to swallow your pride, eat your hat, and accept that maybe your study partner that you think you're so much more clever than, you're more bright than, you're more intelligent than, well, maybe they have a point. Part of the challenges of studying with a study partner is that we have to seek truth over seeking triumph. We want our ideas to succeed, but that may get in the way of pursuing truth. And that's part of this idea. If you love righteousness and justice and correctness, and you love the truth, really, That is a way that you will become a better student of Torah. May we all be so fortunate to study the Almighty's Torah and to render ourselves into receptacles that are worthy of absorbing His holy Torah. Way number 33, Ohev es hamesharim, loving the righteousness and justice and straightness and uprightness. And of course, my email address is rabbiwalby@gmail.com.